Desire your prayers that the Lord will bless His word this afternoon. I do only have the first part, so I hope if the Lord has given you a second part, that you will carry that out. I would like to say that the Lord permitted me to have a little experience this week. And I hope to share that with you before the end. But it prompted an inspiration for this part of the service. This ordinance of feet washing, it could also be called the ordinance of true benevolence. And I like that word. The word ordinance, it's an authoritative order or decree. It's symbolic acts regularly repeated in a set, precise manner. I can relate to that. For all my life, I've been participating, even as a little girl, in the ordinance service. When I was young, when it came time for the feet washing, they would generally have a whole group of us little ones, and we participated washing each other's or one another's feet. So it has always been a part of my life, and maybe some of you have experienced that in your life growing up as well. But the ordinances are very important in our worship. The ordinance of baptism, it is a personal action. It is done with my personal testimony. No one else is there. No one else can do it for me. I'm the only one that can enter into that ordinance of baptism as a testimony of a change in my life. And then we have the ordinance that actually follows this one, the breaking of the bread and the symbolic blood that you and I take the cup. Jesus spoke of his life, that he was bread. He said, "Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood." So we have that as one of the ordinances. We're commanded, if we are to participate in his death and resurrection, that we participate in that as well, though it be symbolic. But it too is a personal thing. No one can take of the bread or drink of the cup for you. You have to do it yourself. But in this ordinance, it is different. This ordinance of feet washing is an ordinance of service. It is an ordinance of love, as we have already stated. But I want to give you the definition for benevolence. It's selfless love. It is kindness. And I made this definition. It is a love on a one-way street, because it is love that you don't expect to be returned. You're a giver. You're not the taker. We each one can be a taker, but I don't wash your feet and you turn around and wash mine. See, somebody else does that. Somebody else gives to me. I give to somebody else. So it is an ordinance of giving to someone else and not expecting anything in return. Now, the scripture says that if we love them which love us, what thank have ye? So that scripture would go along with the thought of benevolence. We're not expecting it back. We're going to only be the giver, and in one sense, a taker. Another scripture says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's a great love. And we cannot have that love except that Christ gave us the example of laying down his life. And therefore, you and I can look upon that and receive that example and then practice it by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12 and 15 is another scripture. And Paul said in that place, he says, "I will very gladly spend and be spent." That's the foundation or the principle of this ordinance of feet washing. So as we look at the another word to add to this ordinance, it is an ordinance of interrelations. And when I looked up that word, the Lord inspired that word to me, and it means it's the way in which two or more persons are connected and affect one another. It is mutual and reciprocal relation. So it's a giving, it's a taking, and yet we don't expect any blessing in return, but we are blessed when we participate in this. And as we will read the scripture, you'll be happy if you participate in this. So as I think about an interrelationship, one with another, this is an ordinance that is not as personal as the other two. This involves my relationship with you. I remember a number of years ago, just had this experience come back to my mind, but was in an ordinance service here for feet washing, and as I arose from my seat to head back, I said to myself, "I want to wash the feet of the one I love the least." And as I looked around and at the different saints that were there, I found no one that I loved the least. And I believe that's what the Lord is calling for us to have a love that is not partial. I believe the Lord wants us to have a love that is the same for our brethren, our sisters, our fellow man. So the scripture says, love as brethren. And I know that we all have sang the song, and maybe you even feel it from time to time, being in a setting such as this, and we sing, "I'm glad to be a part of the family of God." There is a relationship and that can only be had where we have unity of our spirits, where we're striving for the same things, where we're speaking the same things. And that's what his word says for you and me, to speak even the same things, to be in unity together. So it's a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. Another scripture that simply says, and I hope to not be too long in this for the sake of time, but it also tells you and me to honor one another and to prefer one another. That is a selfless grace, is when we prefer one another, when we honor each other, then we are denying ourselves or our flesh. The enemy would want us to think sometimes, no, not sometimes, he works this way. He wants us to think we're something when we're nothing. And when we enter into this, it is symbolic of humility and service to others. That's the symbol of it. And the Lord wanted us to do this, as we're going to read later in the thoughts here. He wanted us to do it to remember that we are servants and that we are not here to be served. For he came to be a servant. He did not come to be served, but he wants you and me to have the same mind. He says, have this mind in you. There is a scripture that the Lord gave me a number of years ago that has been an inspiration to me over and over. And it's speaking about the mind of Christ and having a perfect mind. And it says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. So if by chance, because this is a service as well as the next, where it's good for us, not good, but we're commanded to examine ourselves. If we are not, if we're less than perfect minded, then he will show us. He will convict us. He will reveal it to us. We can trust him to do that for his people. So as we are sitting here together and as we begin to examine ourselves, we can trust him to show us if there's anything that would hinder our relationship with one another or our relationship with him. I want to turn to Colossians, the third chapter, and start at verse 12. And this is some very good reading, and I hope that it will minister to you as it has me. And it says, put on as the elect of God. Now, this particular service is not, it's open, but we don't often have others come except those who wish to participate and be a part of. And so we are called the elect of God. And he's telling us to put something on. He's putting on as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. That's what we're to put on now today. As we enter into this, we are to show mercy to each other because we want him to show mercy to us. He says, be ye merciful, even as I am merciful. And he wants us to put that into our lives, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Do we have to forbear with each other? Yes. Do we need at times to forgive one another? Yes. It will be that way always. We are as having relationships with each other, having friendships, having the fellowship that we have even in our home congregations, rubbing shoulders with each other, eating our meals together. We are still human, and we will find times that we have to bear with one another and forgive one another. And when we do, it clears our soul that we can enter into this, and the Spirit of the Lord will be pouring down a blessing upon us. It will be rich. You will taste of the richness when you have forgiven your brother of a trespass. The Scripture tells us that it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. Have you ever been offended by your brother? David was offended by his brother. He said, it wasn't the enemy out there that hurt me. It was the one that I walked to the house of the Lord with. It was that one that hurt my feelings, and I had to forgive. Thank the Lord, he's made a way for you and me to see that when it happens, we shouldn't be shocked. This is part of our humanity. This is part of that inner relationships that we have. We're working together, and we're working toward the same goal of heaven. Thank the Lord. And so it goes on, and it says, and above all of these things, put on what? Charity. I like that. And it says it calls it the bond of perfectness. And then it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So that's another scripture that we want to give to us this morning, this afternoon. And then I want Romans, the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 9. And it says, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. I knew it didn't read what I had written down. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Do you know what that word means? It means don't conceal your thoughts or your feelings. Don't have pretense. Did you know that God works with an honest heart? But the devil cannot work with us if we're honest in our heart. And on the other hand, the enemy cannot work. The Lord can't work with a dishonest heart, but the enemy can. And so let's have a love today for our brethren that's without pretense. And it's we're not concealing our thoughts or our feelings. We are having genuine feelings. Now, there are times when we may not have the fervent feelings that we would desire. And because of our humanity, we cannot conjure them up. But what can we do? We can cry out to the one that can give it to us. I think about the message we've heard this week about the banquet table that was spread. And that you can have all of anything that you need or want or desire. Or if you're short, you can have it by even partaking of it. You can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have sufficient love, but fill me with your love. He will do it. I've had him do it. I've told this before, but it is one of the richest blessings that I have probably ever experienced. I was hurt. I was wounded. And I hadn't seen these individuals in 2 or 3 months. Came to the Guthrie meeting, assembly meeting, sitting over here, looked back there, saw them walk in the door, and a voice said, turn your head. Don't look their way. And I did that. But there was another voice. And it said, no, you go and greet them. And I obeyed that voice. I did not feel like it. I was hurt. And I was wounded. I got up and walked back and did what that voice said to do. And when I reached out my hand, the glory of the Lord filled me. The love of God filled me. The grace was there. It was no pretense. It was real. I had victory. And I want to tell you something. I won those people. No, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. The Lord told me the right thing to do. So if you feel short, there's a way for you to be filled with the kind of love that he wants us to have for our brothers and our sisters. So now, let's go to another scripture, Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. And it says, by love, serve one another. Don't you know that it's easier to serve someone when you love? And it's easier to serve when you love serving. Oh, when that benevolent love, that benevolence is there. Oh, it's just natural. You enjoy it. You're looking for the blessing to come from the Lord, not the one that you do it to. You're not looking for the thanksgiving from them, but you're looking for that which comes from above. So it is by love that we serve one another. Let's see. Okay, and then it says, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're familiar with that scripture. We're familiar with the laws of God where it says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And the scripture says over in James, it called this the royal law. And it not only called it the royal law, but in another scripture it says it was the great commandment. And the great commandment had two parts. The first part is a commandment for you and me to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the way that we are able to do that is how He has loved us. The scripture says He won me by His love. I cannot love God without Him proving His love to me. And He has. And He has to you too. And when He proves Himself, it develops that love that is strong with desire to please Him in all things. And that's the first part of the great commandment. And then it says the second part is very similar and very much like the royal law. It is like the royal law. I am to love others like I want to be loved. Do unto them just like I want to be done to myself. And it actually said there's no greater commandment than that. We might look at the standards, the doctrines, and we might think, oh, this is a very important doctrine over here, or this is a very important teaching over here, and I need to really obey this doctrine. But I want to tell you, if you will obey this doctrine, this teaching, this commandment, all of the other things will come together. If you're loving the Lord, you will love His commandments. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And these are His commandments. And so we come together for a setting such as this, where we are learning the ordinance of feet washing, of serving, of showing love, of having love, of experiencing love, not only from you that would wash my feet, or you that I would wash your feet, but it is through that that He wants us to learn to show love to one another. In Romans, it also says that love worketh no ill, that there is no ill will when I love with the love that God has. I will not be having a negative feeling toward you. If I do, I need to go pray. So love will work no ill. And it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the very law of God is in love. Well, the scripture says God is love. He knows love. He is the very essence of God is love. It is the reason that He created all that He created. It is the reason that He created man. And it is the reason that He sent His Son. It is the reason why Jesus went to the cross. You know, there's a song that someone sang as a special one time in our congregation, and it left such an impression on me. And I'm going to give you part of it. It says, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. That's hard for me to comprehend, maybe you too. But in reality, because He is who He was, because He had the ability to know the future, He knew men, He knew who would be here, He knew who you were before you were born. And yet, He died for us individually, and He wants to help us individually to be able to serve our brothers and our sisters and to show this kind of love that He had for us. So it is the fulfilling of the law. So when you and I think of terms of the family of God, that might be fairly easy to relate to, and to even have our friendships among the brethren. I do have some friendships that are almost like a blood sister, or I've had friendships among the saints that was very dear to me. I had one friendship with a brother minister that was, he was like a brother to me. He was like a blood brother. And when he died, it hurt like I had lost a family member. And sometimes when we love that strongly and we lose them through death, it becomes a grief, just like if you had lost a real family member. That's the bond that God is calling for us to love one another in that way. But there is a portion of the scripture that I want to give to you before really completing our thought this evening. There is a commandment concerning judgment and mercy and faith. And it said all of this needs to be in balance. And so when we talk about the family of God and loving our brother and our sister in the Lord, that is one side of the coin, you might say. But in this, what we would call the ordinance of interrelationships, it goes beyond the family of God. And it actually begins in our homes. Our homes should be the demonstration of this kind of love, should be established in our homes, in our marriage, in our relationships with our children, even before it is with the family of God. A family unit should be controlled by the parents being in love with each other. The husband, the wife should have a loving relationship. If they're both saved and sanctified, they should have a love that is greater than even what the world would have in a marriage relationship. If they have this bond of the Spirit of the Lord, it should be a greater bond between a husband and a wife, and the parents to the children, and siblings to siblings. We should have some kind of a bond even with our own siblings. We have problems in the world where families don't get along, and there's disunity, and they call it a dysfunctional family, and brothers and sisters maybe come to the place that they never speak again, and sometimes parents are that way. But God wants His people to not have any dysfunction in their family. He wants them to be bonded together because of Him. Thank the Lord. And the scripture tells us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I'm only going to give you a few of those just to establish the thought that this all has to start in the home before we come together in a setting like this. And before we tell our brother, sister, I love you. We should be saying that in our homes first. And the scripture also says for the older ones to teach the younger ones to love their husbands and to love their children. So you see, we may have started out talking about the family of God, but it is that family setting in the home that needs to have these things functioning properly every day. Is that too hard? Every day? Oh, we're going to have our oppositions. We're going to have our places. But I want to tell you, the love of God is able to cover those things. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking about another scripture for the fathers, just inserting these a little bit. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And I remember having a little problem with one of my daughters, and was not knowing what to do. And I opened the Bible and it just sort of stood out. Provoke to love and good works. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and it said, you know how to provoke to anger. Learn how to provoke to love and good works. The Spirit of the Lord is wanting to provoke you and me to love and good works. And then He wants us to provoke our children. And He wants the husbands to provoke the wife to love. And He wants the wife to provoke the husband to love. It works when we follow it. Thank the Lord. So the scripture that said that we started out and said that the judgments and mercy and truth and we live in balance, the balance of it is that this needs to be started in the home before we come here in this place. We need to be at peace with our companions. We need to be at peace in our homes with our children. We need to love our children, our husbands, our companions. So I'm going to turn now. We'll just read in John the 13th chapter as we bring our thought to a close. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses. It's just, I don't want to cut off any part of this. It is such a wonderful thing to recall and reaccount. And it is concerning the feet washing. And these words spake Jesus. Nope, I'm in the wrong one. I'm in the wrong chapter. Forgive me again. The 13th chapter. I think I said 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas to betray Him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things unto His hands and to His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and He laid aside His garments, and He took a towel, and He girded Himself. And after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, what I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him, and therefore said He, ye are not all clean. Now I'm going to insert here the thought that others have also presented when they spoke of these things, is that Jesus did not make a difference with Judas. He washed his feet as well. And when I think of that, I think of the scripture that tells you and me to love our enemies, to love those that persecute us, to do good to them that even maybe speak evil of us. This was a disciple, one that had been beside Christ, had walked with Him, and Jesus knew him. And He knew what He was going to do. And yet He did not turn him away. He washed his feet equally as with the others. And I think what the Lord is trying to say, He is wanting you and me to love all people, to have the love of God that reaches out. He loves all people. He loves each one of us the same. He doesn't love any one more than the other. He loves the sinner. He loves the man out there that looks hopeless. And you and I can have a love for those that are hopeless. We can have a love for those that are in sin. And it pleases the Father for us to have the same desires for salvation as He does. He desires that no one be lost. We should desire that no one should be lost. And so it goes on. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sit down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So what we're doing here today, we're having a little lesson on love. For us to stop and think and examine ourselves about the love that we may have for each other, we may have for our enemy, we may have for the one that has wounded us, the forgiveness. He wants us to have a forgiving heart. And the scripture plainly says, if we don't forgive, He cannot forgive us. So that's what we're doing here today. Now I'm going to tell you what happened to me this week that prompted an inspiration for these thoughts. I felt that my feet were washed right in this service one night. I had made a hair towel for my niece out of a towel, a regular towel, sewed it up, you know, that you wrap around your head when you wash your hair. And it was just before service, and I decided to try it on. And so I put it on my head to make sure that it would work and so forth. And then immediately, I think we left to come to service. And I'm sitting back here, and we get down to pray. And here comes a little sister and starts picking out all of the little fuzzies that my husband didn't even see. And she's just picking all of the little things out of my hair. And I felt so loved. I felt like this little girl. She wasn't a little girl. I felt like she washed my feet right there. And I'm thinking how the Lord is wanting us to have that kind of a care. She didn't have to do it. She could have left me looking that way. My husband didn't notice it. He's not very observant. But she wanted to help me. That's what the Lord wants us to do to one another. Serve one another. Do what we can to show we care. I care about you. And when we get down, oh, I want to tell you, the last feet washing, I believe, that I was in here, I washed a young woman's feet. She's not married. She's a teenager. You know, we can pray from our hearts as we serve in this capacity. Our young people have a future. They're showing that they have a love for the Lord themselves. They have a desire to follow the Lord. But as I washed her feet, this young girl, it was as though I had a vision that she might be a woman preacher. That's what we want. We want our young people to have a desire to enter into the service of the Lord and to be a blessing to the church of God, the family of God. When we wash each other's feet, let us do it with a prayer in our heart for a blessing to rest upon our brother or our sister. Pray it down. Lord, bless them, bless their life, guide them, order their steps. But that is how the Lord inspired me, was just through a little act of a dear little sister coming and picking off all of the fuzzies that were in my hair. The final scripture is 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. And it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Can your love, can our love for each other increase? I believe it can. Most of us are not, we don't have a relationship except at camp meeting or assembly meeting, or if we happen to be in your congregation. But you know, I feel the love of the saints from a distance, don't you? When you think of them, when you think of West Virginia, when you think of California, when you think of these other places, Louisiana, we were just down there. We're part of the family of God. Let us love as brethren. Let not our love grow cool. Oh, the Lord wants us to have a hot love for Him, but He wants it for the church, the body of Christ also. And so He says, you can increase and you can abound in love one to another. And then it says, toward all men. See, it doesn't stop with your home. It doesn't stop with the family of God, but it goes out there. Those that you come in contact with, that you have a burning love for their souls as well. And then it says, even as we do toward you, and to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. What a day that will be. And we have a song like that. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. I want to tell you something. You'll be glad. You'll be glad that you entered into these places where we examine ourselves. Lord, search me and try me. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord to search you. He will search us and He will try us to see if there's any wicked way in us. Pray for me.